Namaste, my humanities in medicine, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion family. Dr. Michelle here for this week's Humanities in Medicine, DEI weekly wrap-up. As we are a medical equanimity, as well as a food sovereignty and social justice audio revolution, welcome to the Humanities in Medicine podcast experience's newest food justice segment. In honor of International Compost Awareness Week, May 7th through 13th, and due to my longtime background in the botanical sciences, I would like to urge you, my people, my listeners, my DEI family, to consider the compost pile. Why don't you give yourself an opportunity to take a moment to brush up on your composting know-how? Come on and join us.
Let's go!
Composting offers a veritable smorgasbord of environmental and community benefits for those enterprising individuals hoping to sustainably manage their waste and care for urban landscapes. There are exciting new ecological methodologies to learn about to help catapult a more sustainable society forward. In childhood, farmers' almanacs and books about photosynthetic processes of the plant world were some of my most enjoyable reading materials. They were, and I collected them. Farmers and gardeners have long understood the benefits of compost to their soil and plants. The annual application of compost enhances soil structure and its ability to hold water. The hydration conservational propensity of compost creates an ideal habitat for beneficial soil organisms and provides a source of slow-release nutrients for plants and protects plants from soil-borne pathogens. Though the process of making compost hasn't changed much over time, individuals are becoming increasingly interested in the crucial role composting plays in soil conservation, sustainable plant care, and the reduction of organic waste. No longer confined to just rural and agricultural areas, composting is now regularly practiced in the heart of urban locales by green thumbs in high-rise apartments, community gardens, and schoolyard horticulture programs.
As we go a little something like this, hit it!
Check this out.
I'm hungry.
Are you hungry? What they got to eat?
I'm hungry.
Are you hungry? What they got?
If one has access to a yard, community garden, or even potted plants, finished compost can be used to improve soil quality. Whether one decides to generate homemade compost or to purchase it from local organizations, compost such as eggshells, greasy foods, and soiled paper can be utilized for home gardening or for grander purposes like the production of electricity for powering homes. In an age of anxiety over climate change, air and water pollution, biodiversity loss, and the increasing threat of ecosystem collapse, composting is more crucial than it has ever been before. By enabling homeowners, renters, and gardeners to recycle their own waste, cut down on irrigation needs, and reduce their dependence on fossil fuel-based fertilizers and pesticides, composting offers people a way to significantly lessen their environmental impact and grow plants more sustainably. Composting is also easy and fun, so that everyone, from kids to grown-ups, can get involved and live more in harmony with nature. Get grounded, everyone.
Monoculture farms, they harm the soil, and the plants are prone to pests, so they spray pesticides. It kills the other life, but not the corn, cause his genes are spliced. The farmer in debt to the seeds he buys. If he tries to do different, he's tripped terrorized. The government pays for this to be subsidized. Why?
Compost is a nutrient-rich soil amendment produced by the breakdown of once living materials. By adding compost to soil, the soil's ability to absorb and retain hydration is enhanced. Here's how. Compost improves the soil structure by creating perfect pore spaces. Working compost into clay-rich or hard compacting soils make them more porous and water-absorbent. It can also make super porous, sieve-like sandy soils hold on to water. Compost achieves this by helping form aggregates, combining with bits of sand, silt, and clay that stick together in small clumps. Between the aggregates are pores, or tiny air pockets and pathways, that allow water to enter the soil and pause there, thus decreasing runoff, erosion, and evaporation. Gardens are watered less due to extended lengths of cultivated soil water storage. Compost vicariously supports soil organisms. Soil consists of organic material called humus, along with inorganic material like rocks and minerals. Healthy soil is home to a range of organisms, including amoebas, insects, earthworms, bacteria, and fungi. These organisms live in complex relationships with both soil and plants to make nutrients more available and help gardens thrive. Their adhesive, sticky, slimy characteristics help soil aggregates to form. No tilling is required. Do feel free to even use compost as mulch. The organisms migrate to surrounding soil, spreading the benefits of compost far and wide within this milieu. Now let us discuss the equipment and accoutrement one requires to commence their sojourn into compost cultivation. I would like to pose a question to all my listeners. Which type of composter are you? If you are a casual, carefree sort, you can simply toss your organics into a corner of the garden and they will slowly become enriched detritus without any intervention at all. Depending on your personality and the amount of time and money you are willing to put into composting, you can also get rather neatly and fully outfitted with an array of composting gadgets and accessories, from auger-shaped aerating tools to herbal compounds designed to inoculate your compost with medicinal and homeopathic forces. Sounds otherworldly and supernatural, doesn't it?
Now listen up, girls, and listen up, boys. This is a ritual in which you will enjoy.
This food gives you diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. Now, that's not the food that I want to feed my family. I'm changing what I eat, and I'm planting my seeds. Cause today we say, we are what we eat, so we're planting our own seeds. Seeds of change, and we hand them out for free.
Join me as we now venture into a description of the composting armamentarium. All of these items are available through a variety of catalog companies, and many can be found in garden centers. Links are also in the description area of this podcast episode. The most widely available composting tool is the bin, which can neaten up your yard and speed the composting process by consolidating ingredients in one area. To decide what kind of bin is most appropriate for you, determine how much kitchen and yard material you have to compost. Afterwards, conduct the necessary due diligence by researching several catalogs to get a sense of what various bins look like, sizing, capacity and availability, and pricing. A recent survey of suppliers found bin prices from about $10 for a paperboard tube to about $400 for a heavy-duty metal tumbler. Do be sure to make certain that the bin selected is easy to open and allows easy access for loading and unloading finished compost. Compost bins should be vented to allow air to circulate through the pile, and look for one with a lid if you need to keep moisture in or out, depending on conditions both inside and outside the bin. Many bins are made from plastic, some sustainably from recycled plastic, and come in camouflage colors like green or black. Plastic bins tend to be lighter in weight than those made from other materials. Wood bins usually look great, but will gradually decay as microorganisms that are at work on the compost break down the wood. Therefore, search for a naturally rot-resistant wood or maintain the initiative to replace rotted pieces periodically. Over time, wooden bins may also warp as they are exposed to the elements. The life of a wooden bin can be extended by treating it with a non-toxic, weatherproofing substance such as Thompson's Water Seal. If rodents or raccoons are a potential problem, make sure that the bin purchased is fully enclosed and rodent-resistant, with openings no larger than 1/4 inch to deter mice and 1/2 inch for rats. Look for bins with rodent screens on the bottom, or add your own screen cut from 1/4 to 1/2 inch wire mesh or hardware cloth. Some bins are able to be turned easily. These tumblers are designed to make turning the compost easier. Some work well and others do not. Take note that the composter chosen is convenient to load and unload and extremely easy to turn because wet compost is heavy. Recent additions to the tumbler selection include bins shaped like orbs that turn by rolling them around the yard, and drum-shaped bins that spin on a base covered with little rollers for ease of motility. Bins may include a number of other features, such as side slots in which a pitchfork can be inserted to loosen the compost, perforated pipes to increase airflow, or doors at the bottom that allow easy access to finished compost. Homemade compost bins can be constructed from lots of different materials, including garbage cans, pallets, and snow fencing, and in a multiplicity of configurations. Worm bins are a different breed of bin and a force unto themselves. The majority are plastic. Some have stacking perforated trays that worms travel up through as they eat, and others are basically boxes or trash can-like containers that have spouts to drain excess liquid, referred to as compost tea. Some worm bins come complete with red worms, others without helminths. The cost range is usually from $50 to $150. Again, homemade worm bins are able to be constructed from a variety of containers as long as holes for aeration are present. A chipper or shredder is an investment. Expect to spend at least $150 for a small shredder and in the thousands of dollars for a heavy-duty commercial machine. If there is a desire to produce hot compost and one has numerous large pieces of yard waste, such as tree limbs, for example, or many bags of leaves that one prefers to compost rapidly, then this may become an essential tool. Machines range from small shredders with half-horsepower motors running on household current to large industrial-style chippers with 12-horsepower motors powered by gas, which can reduce 4 to 6 inch thick limbs into tiny chips that quickly decompose in the compost pile. Combination chipper shredders are also available. Shredders are designed to break up leaves, twigs, and other light plant material. These are dropped into the shredder's chute and passed by a spinning drum, which has a number of flails like nylon lines or blades attached to it. Chippers are similar, but have one or more blades instead of flails and can cut larger branches and brush. Shredder chippers can both shred and chip. It is crucial to wear protective goggles and earplugs when utilizing this equipment. Have you ever heard of the expression, treatment with a long-handled spoon? Well, how about a long-handled fork? An excellent way to get oxygen to the hard-working bacteria in a compost pile is to turn it regularly with a compost fork. A long-handled fork with 5 or more thin, rounded tines. There are several other tools that have been designed specifically to aerate compost piles. When thrust into the pile, the tools create long air shafts and stir the contents around. They also minimize exertion and one's upper body workout, if that is your wish. The compost ventilating tools are long metal shafts with handles. Some have small paddles or wings that are closed against the shaft as it is plunged into the pile and which are supposed to open up as it is pulled out, mixing the organics. Another implement works like a very long corkscrew, which is easy to turn into the pile to make holes. Expect to spend from $15 to $30. The claims made by purveyors of a group of products called bioactivators, inoculants, and accelerators are impressive. These additives will kickstart compost by harnessing the power of various concoctions made from bacteria, fungi, hormones, enzymes, and other ingredients such as wheat bran, granular humates, and seaweed. Inoculants aren't necessarily costly. They average about $6 to $40 per pound, enough for 1 to 2 cubic yards of organics. Most of the organics placed in compost piles are already covered with the right kinds of organisms. Handfuls of finished compost or soil can be added, introducing millions of microorganisms at zero cost. Easy composting guides are readily accessible and remain essential guides to the science and the art of composting. The guides explain how cultivating composting benefits gardens as well as the environment at large and describes the role of earthworms and other tiny creatures that turn kitchen scraps and garden clippings into black gold. At the heart of the guides are the basics of what is mandatory to know to make a good compost, which materials to include, where to locate a pile, what type of bin to use, troubleshooting tips, and instructions for composting indoors. Niche chapters on compost tea, vermicomposting in schools, urban composting, including profiles of composting sites, and an expanded guide for building a homegrown composter are also available. Now we will discuss hydroconservational qualities of compost, how compost can help gardens hold more water. Fresh, clean water is a precious and finite resource, so much so that in some countries around the world, water is referred to as liquid gold. Botanists, horticulturalists, and gardeners everywhere are immersed in the research and development of innovations to minimize water consumption and create rainwater reservoirs for purposes of irrigation. In addition, soil in and of itself is a precious and finite resource. Nevertheless, flash flooding and soil erosion caused by heavy rainfalls are serious urban concerns. There is an important tool, however, that, without fanfare, bridges stewardship of both water and soil. Do you know what that is? You guessed it, compost. As climate change demands that urban infrastructure and water usage are revolutionized, stewards of botanical and horticultural sciences are well poised to be at the forefront of efforts in sustainability. Internationally, there are neighborhood compost projects that provide technical assistance to composters, empowering them to make their own compost and use it to grow healthier urban soils. The Humanities in Medicine podcast experience encourages you to make the soil-water compost cultivation connection in your community. If you would like to learn more about how you can compost in your community, check out your local area's gardening, horticulture nursery, and compost resources for information on furthering urban gardening and ecology education, such as a certification in master composting. Certification programs allow enrollees to learn about compost, soil, decomposition science, and involve hours of approved compost-related volunteering to support compost-related activities at sites around your region. Remember, we at the Humanities in Medicine podcast experience are friends to the environment and advocate for a greener, more sustainable future. How will you consider to cultivate your compost? Happy International Compost Awareness Week. Let us imprint a smaller carbon footprint. Catch you on the inside of all things medical, all things sustainable, and all things equitable.
Beyond organic, this is biodynamic. Plants symbiotic and we're using aquaponics, but no pesticides because we respect the life.
I am Dr. Michelle K. Watson, creator, host, and producer of the Humanities in Medicine podcast experience. Join me on this groundbreaking, inspiring audio revolution for a new episode every month on all major podcast hosting platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Informed, culturally relevant content, custom created and curated with sensitivity for an informed listener base, for a more informed future. For additional information, please visit the description area of this groundbreaking podcast. Stay informed, but of course, be certain to like, share, subscribe, and comment. Namaste.